The Lord be with you.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Last night after Mass, a couple of kids from our parish came up to me. They said, "Father Ricky, you look so happy." I said, "Why do you say that?" They said, "Because I think you're happy because the Dodgers won." And I started to laugh, and I said, "Of course that makes me happy, but I think I was extra happy yesterday because on Friday, I got to be the presider at my brother's wedding." And it was, I know, isn't that a cute family moment, right? And I thought of how cool it must have been for my mom and dad to watch the eldest son preside at the wedding for their youngest son. And my brother has always had a special place in my family because when he was born, the doctors said he probably wouldn't live past a month old. And he's a true miracle. He's had 8 open heart surgeries and a lot of prayers through the years. So our hearts were overfilled with joy that he's, you know, healthy now, and we love his wife. And have you ever had these moments in life where you're just overcome with gratitude, where you're so thankful? And that's how the last 3 days were for me. My brother got married in New Orleans, so we flew out Wednesday morning, and my brother was very generous. He rented this nice Airbnb, and we're all together, and a miracle happened. There was not one family argument. Not one. Everybody got along, and we were just reminiscing about the past we had together, and just watching some movies together, and we had a lot of fun. So yesterday, when I was sitting on the plane getting ready to fly back to New Orleans, I was saying a prayer of gratitude to God for this opportunity, for my family, and to be able to go and to do this wedding. But I have to admit, there was one part during the 3 days together that I got very stressed. It's an added pressure when you are doing a wedding of a family member, trust me. Because no matter what you tell them, they're not going to listen to you. You're the brother. You're the son. What do I know? I'm only 17 and a half years ordained, right? So I told, I said, you know, "I'm doing this wedding. I want to get there early because it's not my church." It was a beautiful church. It was actually where Pope Leo's great-grandparents were buried. So it was really, really cool to be there. And the wedding started at 3, and I just said, "I need some holy water in the back, I think. Huh? I'm going to preach short, I promise. I'm not going to go long. We're Catholic. They'll start screaming too if I go over 10 minutes. So the wedding started at 3, and my brother arranged for a car to pick us all up at 2 p.m. So 2 p.m. came and went, 2:10 came, and all of a sudden, I began to panic because I needed to get there. And as I tell people, I may look full Mexican, but I'm also a quarter German, so I'm very punctual, right? And I drive my family crazy because I'm never late anywhere. I'm just on time. So in that moment of panic, instead of thanking God that we live in 2025 where all you have to do is pull out your phone and order a Lyft or an Uber, I started getting anxious. And people started saying, why don't we do this or that? And I may or may not have yelled at a few of my family members, like, be quiet, I have it. And it happens in your own families too, doesn't it? But you get stressed and anxious. And obviously we got to the church and everything went well. And, you know, I walked in and my brother saw me and goes, oh, how are things? Did everything go smooth? I go, oh, it just went smooth. We just got here. Everything went perfectly, right? Because I didn't want to stress them out. But I felt a little guilty that yesterday when I was thanking God for all the blessings that I acted the way I did. I should have had a better reaction. But for all of us, when we get stressed, sometimes we get irritable, don't we? And when we get punched, put against a wall, it's very easy for us to forget our blessings. And instead of focusing on our blessings, we focus on things that don't go as planned. It don't go right. And our gospel today makes it very clear that we're called to be thankful always. Now, Jesus cured how many lepers in the gospel? How many? Okay. Answer, also read it again, okay? And how many came to thank Jesus? 10%. So where are we right now in our lives? Are we thankful? Or are we entitled, and we want more and more, and we feel like we're owed more? Jesus is telling us today to be thankful always, to be thankful even for the experiences that challenge us, because it's through the difficult moments that we often get closer to God, and we get closer to each other. So living a life of gratitude is what this gospel is about. You see that Jesus brought healing. Jesus' generosity never stops. But for all of us, we need to be grateful every day for all that he's done for us. So one of the best ways that we could live out a life of gratitude is by choosing not to be negative. Oftentimes, it's our negativity that causes us to be ungrateful. Negativity is not what God wants for us. We've all been around people where you think, oh boy, here they come, right? Are you that person though? I hope not. Life isn't going to be easy. Jesus tells us that. It's going to be difficult. In fact, he tells us time and time again, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. But if we're constantly negative and complaining, that's not discipleship. Discipleship is saying, even in the difficult moments, I'm going to give thanks to you, Lord. Even in the moments where we're grieving the loss of a loved one, and it's so hard, we're going to say, yes, Jesus, it's hard, but I know I'm going to see them again one day. So choosing not to be negative is a form of gratitude. In our prayer life, when we pray to Jesus, do we approach Jesus with our list and demands? Or do we trust in his generosity and replace those demands with gratitude? So when we pray, if all we do is we read a list and say, I need this. You know, I've already had some people saying, I need USC to beat Notre Dame, Notre Dame to beat USC. Breaking news, I don't pray for sports, okay? But you know, sometimes we approach Jesus like he's Santa Claus. And here's our list. That's not what our prayer life's about. Our prayer life is full of gratitude. Thanking Jesus for the gift of life. So how is it when we pray? Are we grateful? And finally, my friends, one of the best ways to express gratitude is to tell the people in your life, thank you. Kids, when is the last time you looked at your mom and dad and said, thank you for all that you've done for me? Thank you for the food, the house, for bringing you to Mass today. Husbands, when is the last time you thanked your wife for all that she's done? And vice versa, wives, your husband. Thanking people is a form of discipleship. To not presume that we're owed anything, but to actually look somebody in the eye and say, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for being the good person that you are. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for being there when I knew you would be there. So my friends, living a life of gratitude is a gift that we could give each other. So if you're going to be negative and you're going to be complaining, I thank you for coming here, but find another church, okay? I have my quota on that already, all right? Thankfulness, gratitude. We are so blessed to be Catholic because when we come to Mass, we receive the greatest act of thanksgiving ever. That Jesus loves us so much that he gave us the gift of the Holy Eucharist. And the Eucharist is a reminder that we're never alone in the world. And it's by receiving the Eucharist every Sunday that we have the strength to persevere and to face all that comes our way. So who is it in your life that you need to thank? Who is it that you're going to call today or thank after Mass? I want you to think of just one person today that has blessed you abundantly. And how are you going to thank them and let them know that you love them? Amen? And if you can't think of anybody, talk to me after Mass, okay? We'll have a talk because we're all blessed. Think of one person you're going to thank today.